It's been described as one of the greatest speeches of all times, and it helped to set the stage for sweeping changes in U.S. society. Those landmark changes included the 1964 Civil Rights Act that banned discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, or sex. Civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King delivered his iconic I Have a Dream speech at the end of a huge march on Washington by around 250,000 people, calling for full civil and economic rights for African Americans. Antoinette Hurtado is the public affairs officer at the U.S. Embassy to the Holy See, and she spoke to Susie Hodges about the lasting impact of Dr. King's speech.
It really did change the course of American history and, in some places, international history. For me, it's just, it's been one of those incredible moments that you learn about in school and you come to appreciate as a moment of real change in the history of the United States. And it's always meant, for me as a person of color and as a woman, just a great deal in terms of what it means to really achieve the American dream and what Martin Luther King Jr.'s role was in that. And really, it was tremendous. I mean, on that day, August 28th, 1963, over 250,000 people were at the Lincoln Memorial to hear this speech and, you know, to really hear his words. And we look at what's been accomplished since then. And really, it's tremendous. After his speech, we have the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which came into being, and that banned discrimination in all public facilities, hotels and restaurants, and also prohibited discrimination in employment. So, of course, an important step. The year right after that, we had the passage of the Voting Rights Act, which tried to ensure that African Americans could actually exercise their right to vote. And also in 1968, we had the Fair Housing Act, which sought to remove discrimination in buying and renting housing, another important step. And of course, following that, we had a number of policies, affirmative action and others, all meant to make sure that the American dream was something possible and achievable for all Americans and not just one particular part of our society.
Although people have taken part in some of the commemoration marches this whole week, they do talk about unfinished business, unmet goals, you know, saying more needs to be done to eliminate racial inequality.
Yes, absolutely. I think it would be remiss of us to rest on our laurels and think that, you know, there's nothing more that can be done, that it, you know, the problem of racism in the U.S. Or worldwide is done and resolved. I think what we can do is be happy about what's been accomplished, but there is a lot more to be done. There are still attitudes out there that are not inclusive and that are intolerant, and we need to do more to address that, and we need to do more to include all minority groups in the U.S. in American society and fold them into the fabric, make sure that the laws protect them. You know, and this is not just for people of color. This is for women. This is for the disabled. This is for everyone. And really, I think that Martin Luther King's speech meant to reach out to everyone and say, you know, United States, until we really fulfill the ideals upon which our country was founded, nobody's really free, and nobody's really living the dream unless all of us can be living it.
What about its personal impact on you when you've listened to recordings of it? How did you feel?
It's incredibly passionate, and I feel just oftentimes overwhelmed with hope. And sometimes with a little bit of a critical eye as well as to exactly what you mentioned. What have we achieved, but what more is there to achieve? As I mentioned, as someone who sort of grew up in a lower socioeconomic situation, and as a woman and as a person of color, I feel that I am one of the lives that's been possible based on the changes that came about after Martin Luther King Jr.'s incredible speech in 1963. And so it's meant a tremendous deal to me to see someone so influential call for those changes and to see those changes be enacted. I feel like I'm a beneficiary of that, and it just makes me really proud as an American.
Dr. Martin Luther King's speech, he was, of course, a Baptist minister.
Yes.
And there's many biblical references in his speech, isn't there?
There are. He was a man of faith. He was a Christian man and really used that as the foundation for much of what he believed in and much of what he called for in his speeches. He was very much for nonviolence, which is something, again, that I'm very proud of and cognizant of when I think back to the speech and when I hear the speech, that yes, it was a passionate call for change, but he always condemned violence. And it was always about being an instrument of change, but in a peaceful way. So again, you know, I think his faith really, really influenced him there. He did say in his speech, "Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred." And I think that's just, it's really powerful, and it can be an example, not just for other struggles in America, but worldwide struggles where people are very thirsty for change, are really wanting rights and reforms, that there is definitely an avenue for that. But nonviolence needs to be kept in mind at all times to really maintain the dignity and the high road when we try to pursue those reforms.
Yes, I mean, even the march itself, as you said, it was 250,000 people, yet it was nonviolent.
Exactly, exactly. And that was something that he was very proud of in the end of it.